You will have to move, you're both wearing the same shirt.
I'll roll up my sleeves.
So we have this as an official Board of Selectmen meeting because there's three of us here from the Board of Selectmen, so we had to make it into an official POS. So I'm just going to call the meeting to order. Is the recorder going?
Yep.
At 2:05, this is a special Board of Selectmen meeting, and I'm just going to start with myself for attendance. So we have it for the record, Denise Rapper, Selectmen. We'll go to Dan.
Dan Morisani, Selectmen.
Jeff Zullo, Selectmen.
Wolf Bomber of Litchfield.
Ed Fabry, Litchfield.
Raz Litchfield.
Andrew Crea, Connecticut DOT.
Kevin McKernan, Connecticut DOT.
Dirk Patterson, Borough of Litchfield.
Rosenberg.
Everybody knows that one. All right, so we're here after, I think the last time you presented was in April?
Yep, pretty much back. We're doing a follow-up to this because we, you know, back in April, we had a couple different concepts that we were trying to move forward from an investigation to an actual proposed project. Mm-hmm. So we kind of transferred that over the summer. We had a couple things that we just wanted to run by the town. We ran it by the borough as well to see if we're on the right track. We're all kind of making sure that we're doing the right thing for out here, and everybody can follow along to that as well. So at that point, we were using existing volumes to do an existing analysis for the area to kind of get an idea of what we can actually do. So over the summer, we were able to get forecasted volumes to actually see, can we build this? Is it going to last? What's going to make sense? How it's going to look that way? We met again with some more of our internal coordination points, especially with our rights-of-way department, because there was that question of that little extension of 118, who owns that? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we end up owning it, even though it doesn't really show up on some of the right-of-way maps, it is deeded to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So with that, we also met with some of our historical folks as well, just kind of reiterating that we're not impacting things, that we're trying to stay away from the green as much as possible while still trying to make a very efficient intersection corridor. So with that, we have a recommendation that we'd like to initiate into a project. To do that, we're kind of just closing the loop here. Then we can talk next steps as well as how we want to interact with the public. That could be at a normal meeting. We do a little presentation. We can answer questions that way. Or we could go with a more formal public informational meeting. That one just takes us a little bit more time because it has to go through a lot of the formal channels. So that's looking like another 3 months at this point.
As opposed to
just whenever your next meeting is mm-hmm. with the public, we can just go.
I mean, we could call a special public hearing just on the behalf of the Board of Selectmen and invite you. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, that would work.
That way it wouldn't maybe conflict with one of our meetings. We could do it before or after.
I would want to give people enough time, outside of maybe our normal Board of Selectmen meeting to ask questions.
So it's not quite a public information meeting?
January.
Is that the idea?
A public hearing is a public informational meeting. It's not an actionable meeting. It's not like a town meeting, but we call a meeting as a Board of Selectmen to...
Trying to figure out it doesn't trigger this big process that you described.
Usually we like to save the big process for when a project is coming up to 30% design. It's already funded. It has a schedule. This is still a concept.
Right.
It hasn't been initiated. There's no funding. We don't have a set schedule for it. What we're trying to do is close the loop here, make sure any red flags that come up, answer questions as they come. And then that way we can give it to a design team. They can set a schedule. We can find funding for it. And then at that point, it becomes a real project. Whereas right now, this is kind of we're in between. We're getting
conceptual.
Ready for
it. Yeah.
So with that said, you know, what we show here, what we recommend, nothing's really set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So comments, questions, you know, we take them in stride. Even after we go with the public, we do give some, we have a generic email address that we use. We have a phone number as well. So if people have questions there, they don't think about the meeting.
Is it an iterative process where you would take inputs and evaluate it to the concept and then, you know, do a pro or con or some kind of analysis to that?
To a certain degree, yes. At this point, we're kind of, you know, we refined our concept that we'd probably just take comments in, kind of reflect them as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'd have to come back and make it as that iterative. But once it gets to an actual design team, then that's more of like, we'll kind of give them the concerns. We'll let them know the questions that we've heard and be like, this is what we did to modify certain designs to move forward.
Okay.
And they'll be aware of that.
Let me ask this question. What do you need from the town as far as, you know, an agreement or an approval to go forward? I mean, Does it have to be a formal town meeting approval, or are you guys requiring anything like that? Or
we just need, you know, there is no formal yes, no process to it. We're just making everyone aware that this is what we're pursuing and moving forward.
Right, but it's in our best interest to make sure that people...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
like the majority of people are aware and understand.
Yeah, if there's a big, you know, big red flag that happens, then we understand that and we can kind of rescind and start from the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
For that public hearing, would we have an early understanding of what the timeline potentially will be and the funding and so forth so we could convey to the public if this is, you know, looks favorable,
yeah, I guess
we would have it done in three years or 5 years, whatever it is.
I mean, depending on, I guess, the timeline for when that occurs, really depends when we talk to which design team this ends up going with.
Okay.
For this project, the size, it's probably 3 to 5 years. It's mostly an intersection improvement project. Even though, the area itself is complex and there's a lot of moving pieces behind that, at the end of the day, it's a intersection replacement.
Okay. And that's before a shovel hits the dirt, right?
That's before a shovel hits the dirt. So 3 to 5 years, you know, it's probably going to be in design for, let's say, 2 years, 2 to 3 years. But knowing internal coordination, especially working with SHPO, our historical office as well, plus Rights Away as well, you know, depending on what permits look like, you know, that dictates the schedule.
Okay.
At this point, you know, 3 to 5 seems reasonable. We don't see any reason for it to be extended after that.
Is there any way to accelerate it?
There are certain ways to get scheduling accelerated. I don't think they work in this case here just because of the sensitivity of the area.
Okay.
It's not like we can phase the project into like one intersection and then the other intersection.
Mm.
It's just the timelines for that just wouldn't be correct and it wouldn't make sense operationally.
So this would be a one continuous project in terms of the build out. You wouldn't be shifting.
This most likely would take over one construction season.
Okay.
I can't dictate how they're going to build it, but that's what we're looking at for here.
So the traffic would be horrendous that one building season.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, with any construction that goes on in an area, traffic's going to.
Yeah.
What's the? Did you do an analysis of what the traffic count is today compared to, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago?
We do look at historical numbers, especially with COVID. We saw like a large drop.
It's a large.
Yeah, so sometimes we'll take existing and then we'll look in the past just to make sure, are they the same? Is it going up? It's going down. For over here, there was a little bit of growth, and I think our plan was kind of.
It was there was some growth, and then projected to the future, there's, I think from when we took the counts, somewhere around expected 9% growth to 29, and then another roughly 13% looking at 29 to 49. We look out basically 20 years out from where something would be constructed.
You said 13%, 29 to 30?
That's
13% increase?
That's what I remember seeing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 9% from the present through 29?
Well, from when we took the counts.
Because we've had some major changes here. We have two new hotels that were never there. So it's 50 hotel rooms present and some additional restaurants and shops. So
anticipating continued sort of growth. I don't know exactly where, but I know when we talked, there was discussions about increase of tourism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our planning department takes that into consideration when they figure out their forecasting algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of see what trends are going on in the area.
Right.
That's why we can project to, 49, you said?
To 49. We also have to consider two people, maybe more people work remotely, so that it would not impact.
Well, I mean, comparative to, remember what came off is the closure of the courthouse. So that was a large, input.
That was a large driver.
System, which is gone. And it's probably a little different now with the... With the use
aerospace.
Of the hotel.
Think of all aerospace. Those hundreds of cars that used to empty out. Okay, so we're, ready to listen to what you have to say.
Sure. Stop me if I say anything wrong, Kevin.
Okay.
All right, so kind of going off what we had last year, let's see if I get these in the right order.
Yeah, you showed us roughly 10 or 12.
Yeah, and we designs. Yeah. That was, we ran the gamut through it. Oh, yes, it is. So today, we have, what, three altogether?
Two altogether plus the 118.
Oh, yeah.
Section.
So let's see. All right, so let's see. All right.
Can I ask a question before you start? So you are considering the 118 intersection as part of this project. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it's an integral. Okay, I just want to understand that.
And just the projections that we looked at here include, it's a little off the map, just a size B, but where
the road copies of the same?
No, so these are the two, the two different alternatives that were, that we kind of ran through the proposed numbers. When we kind of left the meeting in the springtime, these were kind of the top two that came up to the top out of all those older alternatives that we looked at. These made the most sense for what's going on out here. And this, you know, it wasn't as impactful as some of the other alternatives.
And, they include, so right over there, that anticipates that being closed off, as well as that road.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay. So both the entrance here as from West Street,
the slip lane.
Yep. So both of these.
So that,
say that again. They're both closed off.
Yeah. Those were anticipated based off of the road safety audit, and I believe our discussions on those being so. These plans, these lanes, these, the analysis that was done was based off of those two roads being closed off to traffic.
Is that on both plans?
Yeah, yes. This is on both plans. What happens is we necessarily wouldn't be doing that work underneath this project. That would be a town-led activity because it's a town road. But to figure worst-case scenario or running a traffic analysis, it makes the most sense to just kind of think like those are already closed.
Not the slip lane also. Also the slip lane's closed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So that way it forces pretty much the most amount of traffic.
Up to here. So if somebody's going over here, they have to come up and...
They'd have to go all the way
and
around.
And there's enough of a, well, this is like, probably ahead of myself, but like a turning radius here for large trucks.
Yeah. So that one, as you can see, that one has more of an impact versus this one because of that turning radius. So that one actually...
The green is rounded more.
Yeah. So that one impacts the green on those center islands because you do have to allow for truck turns at that point. But I can, I'll kind of go through.
Yeah, let's, okay. let's hear A versus B.
Yeah. All right. So I guess to start with A, it's probably the simplest version of the alternatives that we looked at least in a traffic sense. So what that ends up doing is you remove this completely. It's kind of like we would end up giving the road to the town or the green, and then whatever, you know, can be out there can be out there, but for the sake of concepts we're trying to stay within the footprint of what's going on there. So with that we would move the signal from here to over here on this side. So that way we're running two signals. Now these have turning lanes as well, with enough storage space for the, you know, projected traffic. What that does is also we'd add turning lanes pretty much on all of the approaches as well to kind of handle that sort of traffic. A large concern with this is it does impact the green. Now what that means is permitting is going to be an issue, scheduling is going to be an issue on top of that. And it's one thing that we, when we're looking through all these alternatives, that we want to be very considerate of it because of the sensitivity to the area. So it's one of those alternatives that we had to look at, you know, even though I think our recommended alternative moving forward is this. This alternative's kind of the same and the similar of how the traffic moves pretty much through this area here, but it keeps open Route 63, at least this section here, and this will be your truck access point because the radiuses that are out there now meet standards for trucks turning in and out. It'll limit them from here because they cannot physically make the turn, and we can sign it as well. This is, you know, trucks don't enter here. They would have to go into this right in and right out motion here. So that would make this a little more complex, but... You know, it's pretty complex now, I think. The driving experience through downtown, people kind of understand how to move. And with anything else that we've kind of seen by looking at the different origins and destinations throughout the whole area, people will find a way to move depending on which, where traffic's headed. But in the same thing, you know, we add turning lanes on all the approaches. Again, we move the signal from here over towards this side with 118. And pretty much this is a smaller footprint. We just have some sidewalks shown here to add the connections to the crosswalks. This would all be done within the pavement footprint that's out there now. There is going to be the most amount of impacts is going to be on this north side here, just to get the lane arrangement to fit. Mm-hmm. But in this area here, this is not of significant historical consideration, but it is the least, you know, after talking to our own historic folks, you know, the green is the most sensitive area here. Mm-hmm. The other things, not so much, including the island that's existing here, that would have to go with both alternatives.
Sure.
But moving forward, this is pretty much, we believe, the best recommendation to give to a design team. It makes the most sense, it can be scheduled, and the funding for it shouldn't be too crazy, and it keeps the impacts very small. With that being said, some of the traffic out here, you know, at the very largest peaks, more towards the design year, you know, we will see some queues out there. We're not going to make it worse to a certain degree of what's out there, but it really depends on, you know, we're using forecasted volumes. It's hard to say, you know, once this gets constructed, is it going to follow through with those? But we think we've prepared it enough that it answers those questions and it solves all the, not all the problems that are out there, but it gives us the best ability to do so.
One question for option B, if you were going from coming from into town on 202 and you wanted to go south on 63, because you cannot take a left onto South Street Extension, correct? You'd have to take a left there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's only an exit there.
Okay. Or a left down here and then
up.
That's such a sharp turn though. That would be very hard.
Yeah, in option B, that middle stoplight is gone. It's moved over to the corner.
Yeah, so now
there's no stop. That's just a stop sign there.
Mm. Yeah, this would probably be a yield to come in and out.
A yield, okay.
For bypasses, we usually don't do stops, but
okay.
So the signal will get moved to this intersection.
The other question I have is, the last time we met, we also kind of, we discussed sort of taking away either North Street Extension or South Street Extension as a potential option. I'm just curious what the reason is for it not being an option C, where North Street Extension gets absorbed into the green and there's only now South Street Extension.
So
in other words,
this is South Street.
Eliminating
this.
That, yeah.
And just using
that.
To end up doing something like that, just because it would make this into an offset intersection, mm-hmm. which we try to stay away from, just because you end up having people trapped in such a small area in between, because then we'd have to put, you know, we would still have to run two lights
signal.
Pretty
right.
much.
Right, right, right.
One thing I noticed during the road race, I came over here and watched where the race was going on, and this is all blocked off. What happens, this queue here goes back through the intersection, and so this will become a problem if you don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that as well.
So the one thing doesn't seem to be addressed is trucks coming on 202 to go south on 63 here. Is that right? That's the one, because
if they're
trucks
coming
are restricted
south-
here.
So the restricted movement is this right turn.
Oh,
here.
It's
see how tight
that.
It is?
Okay.
But this one works
Got
fine
it.
For trucks.
Okay.
And the same thing down here.
Mm-hmm.
This area here with the parking, we don't know, you know, we can only throw a concept together. This is what, you know, we envision works operationally. But, you know, moving forward, the design team will coordinate with everyone here in the town to figure out, you know, at some point, some of these parking spots are going to have to be moved, sacrificed, or mitigated somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the borough plan for the green, that is already an idea to take over those parking spaces.
Yeah.
And so what are you...
Crosswalk-wise,
are you widening the road?
No. No, the road's not getting widened this way.
Well, it widens to the north.
It widens this way.
To
the north.
So now here...
Third one.
Here you're doing what? You're saying we're adding... Sidewalks?
Yeah, so if you, this one might show it a little better. So this is just the line work, no coloring. So as you can see, the edge of road as it is now is all the way back here, where the new curb line would be where the pink line is.
Uh-huh.
So the sidewalk actually utilizes the existing shoulder while pretty much all the widening is going to the north up this way. Same with on this side as well. The parking in front will have to be moved or shaved in. mm-hmm. up there. But pretty much the existing curb line as it is now, like that's what we followed. That's pretty much our set limit. Same thing on this side. So these edges of the sidewalk is pretty much where the curb is there, you know, where the curb's now.
Yeah, so this would be putting in a new sidewalk. And there are plans for a sidewalk in there to connect over here. But whatever, it's green stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, coordinate with the design team. They can try to, you know, depending on what the construction scheduling looks like, you know, try not to step on each other's toes pretty much.
Well, I think the borough would wait until you guys did that.
Out first.
Yeah.
In this configuration, you're actually adding considerably to the greens, right? The slip lane in the Meadow Street extension gets shot. The South Street extension gets shut. So actually, the green
well,
is actually...
That's in both cases. Well, yeah, so this right, is the only right, incremental.
Yeah. Well, that's the that's the bigger add for sure.
Yeah, South that one, and then you're cutting back here because you're shaving.
Yeah, you get
here.
A slight... But I'm so, just saying net change.
Yes, net.
So, growth to the green rather than cut
yeah,
back.
Yeah, so for that one with the line work, to make this turn... We'd have to pretty much shave this entire corner to get it to work to come down here. Mm-hmm. And we don't feel that the what we gain for truck access, it's just it's not worth the impact. And we don't think it would be worth the hit to the scheduling as well.
So that's why that concept is the preferred for you guys?
Yeah, that's why this one is preferred, just because it makes it, they both operationally work in the same manner.
Okay.
You know, one doesn't really outweigh the other. They're pretty similar. But this one has... the least amount of impacts, we can work within the footprint that's out there for a lot of it. And it's, you know, it's kind of makes the most sense. It's the right fit for this project ask.
Okay. Two observations, if I may.
Sure.
Number one, if you close this, you're going to have a stacking problem here. You're going to have fueling from here. So you're going to block this whole thing. Secondly, how this... goes into consideration when the study is simply in this area.
So we're not, for with this project, we are not closing these down. We just took it as a analysis consideration because those are town-owned roads. They're not part of this project, but as a worst case scenario, like you were saying, to have everything kind of funneled up into here,
it will.
That's what we were trying to look at.
Right. So my point is this should be considered as a phase two after, if this gets approved, gets into work.
Or it's an integral town.
Yeah.
Phase
this
right
this
there.
Is something that that concerns me. There's going to be very small relief for the residents in this area. And this will create a PMP here, a lot of problems, especially for the businesses.
Well, you know, change. Even if it's a good idea, people are going to object to closing that.
Of course.
Remember the Fabry concept where we did the same thing and then we brought West Street down? And
But you had to leave further down. I mean,
we have an intersection there. Across from the town hall.
Sure. So that should be studied.
But that stuff, what you're saying is that could be town sponsored.
Yeah, that ends up, you know, so when this project actually goes through design and into construction, these will not. You know, these will not be closed or won't be included in it. We're just considering it as part of the analysis, you know, putting it in the computer, getting it to
understood.
Really think about it.
Are you widening North Street down here?
Taking away the island.
They're taking away the island here so we can fit and kind of line this up and get it a little more aligned.
And are you changing? Go ahead.
Will you be taking away the island on South Street too?
What, this one? No, we'll actually be enlarging it.
The
second aisle.
Yeah,
we had no plans to...
That's done by the post office.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to touch that one.
Everything from what I could tell was able to make the turns that were needed to make down there.
Yeah, but at this point, we're not going to remove it.
Another question for you. So in option A, for South Street extension, in other words, this piece, right? So I understand the logic of making it right turn only if you're northbound there going towards 202 because it eliminates people going. In other words, to go north on 63, you must turn left at the corner and then turn right?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? I want to make sure I understand why it would make sense to also make it right turn only coming the other way. In other words, like what's the logic for making it impossible to take a left turn from 202 south on 63 here, right? Because I would think that it would significantly improve all of the snarl around here. Yeah. If everyone going from here down here could just take that left turn instead of, you know, instead of being blocked from
doing so. Well, it would require a light, right?
No.
Well, no, not necessarily.
A stop sign, and this would just be a light.
That would, that, I mean, you could still have an island there if you just made it a smaller profile island that still had that, like, nudging people to the right flow to it. But you just made it lower profile, so you could still take a left turn if you're coming down from 202. Because that would, in other words, not force all of this 202 to 63 south traffic to go all the way around here. They could just go down here, right? And it would still
give people an option.
It would still give people an option.
If you make a lower profile, the trucks could drive over easier. Yeah.
There's no stacking.
Well, I mean,
I think there is a stacking problem because without a light, then you're unless they're two lanes.
Yeah, but Wolf, now it's a two. It is a two. It is a two lane. Right? There's still a right turn lane onto 63 here. And then a straight or left turn here, so you know the stacking is going to, you know, if you have a truck waiting to turn here, the cars that are going to be going up 63 are going to be able to go around that truck.
You have only in this configuration, if the signal is moved here, you have only one through lane, so
right.
You're going to block if you want to make a left turn here because the signal is going to allow these people to go on green here. So you're going to be stationed here and block the whole thing.
So you
that
think
is
it's,
why you can't make the left.
I'm sorry. I don't really have a strong.
No, I'm saying the design triggers here. That if
right.
It's approved like that.
So we think
you're
going
to have a problem. You're going to have
got it. So we think net it is still more efficient. Someone's going from here down here. It is more efficient holistically to make them go around here than it is to give them that left turn option.
Yeah, so I think what it's going to, you know, for the alternative, like the analysis that was done out here to see, like, Kevin, I believe you looked at this as well, but the problem is that the stacking from here will extend into the intersection in the worst case scenario.
You got that right now.
To sort of make that.
It's already a problem.
It's already
going to be compounded.
Yeah, because, once you still have traffic coming this way, there's a much enough volume still going in this through movement that it's going to make that.
The question is still valid. We should see how that evolves in terms of numbers at PM peak C, if we have enough timing here on these signals coordinated, that you're going to have enough time to clear this corridor and make this move without impacting the south to north.
Right.
This is the vision of the traffic analysis here.
Was that part of your modeling, like when you looked at that?
We did look at everything here, I believe, and it's, you know, just because you're driving a little extra, the efficiency is still there. I believe, and then, you know, moving forward, we end up handing this off to our traffic folks, and they take a deeper dive than we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, they'll have newer volumes. They project them out even further, so that way they get a more holistic look at the area. And at that point, you know, it could still be in consideration. We can write it into our report as, hey, make sure you take a look at this. You know, make sure you provide these answers.
That would be a new traffic signal down there with new timing, I assume.
Yes.
So the timing would be a lot better.
Well,
but
that was
now.
My question. Like, so I see the left-hand turning lanes for both, but that doesn't work unless you have a dedicated left-hand turn signal.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so it's not like it's still, like right now it's a free-for-all. Everybody's just out there.
Yeah. The last time we met, I was brought up, like, you know, sort of really bringing the central road through here into alignment. So that's what sort of led us towards going into the island, getting that left turn in there, and you know, making it so that the through lanes matched up, so you don't have that kick. Like you starts off all those left turns, go, and then it lets everyone else through. And as soon as that ends, the people can start going through again, which sort of led to a left turn on here, basically kind of waiting for all that. Excuse me.
But yeah, both
are you
going to
have
two? To each other, so.
Are you going to have right now this intersection of South Street acts as one intersection with one controller? You're going to have two separate controllers where this is independent of that. So when the PED buttons gets pushed here,
everything stops.
It's not going to shut down that.
No,
that would these would be far enough away that
good.
They would be on separate controllers, but timed together.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
Yeah, from a crosswalk point of view, though, that's going to become a more dangerous crosswalk right here without a light here.
No, that goes away.
Well, this is, we're going to be...
That goes away?
That goes away.
Thank you.
To the light. Yeah, we're going to move it closer to the...
So there's a little sidewalk there.
Yeah, so that's why this little chunk of sidewalk's here.
Who pays for moving the sidewalk?
We do.
Okay. Matching cobblestone.
You can have a discussion with the design team for that. Usually for that, it won't be cobblestone because they're not ADA compliant.
It's usually if it meets the color for the HDC, sure.
Yeah, it usually ends up being stamped concrete. That's usually the product we end up going with. Try to color match it.
Yeah. The stamped concrete can be pretty good.
Yeah, it'll match up.
That's the details.
I had a couple questions or comments. Going back to Dan's comment about the lefts, you know, with this in place, you know, I think the least of locals will end up going here versus sit there at a stop sign. You know, some of the tourists that have no clue will probably queue there. But it gives them an option versus going all the way around.
Yep.
And you know, circling back through that bad
entry, this one over here.
Down there. Mm-hmm. So it's a valid question.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. That I'm just I want to understand because, look, I think, you know, all things being equal, we would like the green to be bigger, and it would be great to kind of reclaim South Street, this piece, the South Street extension back. What I want to make sure I understand is, we're saying that it makes sense to keep your preferred course of action is to keep South Street Extension as a roadway, but limit it so you can only turn right off of it northbound and only turn right onto it
right in, right out.
Yep. So, in other words, there's utility in not making people go around if they're going northbound from 63 to 202. But we don't think it's as big of a deal to make them go around if they're going southbound. So I'm not sure I understand sort of the asymmetry there. And I also wonder the extent to which, as we were just discussing, if you're going from 202 to 202 this way to 63 south, some people, you have basically two ways you can make that right turn through the green, mm-hmm. yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if how much it is going to hold up traffic how much would this get stacked up going through here if people are waiting, because there's going to be a stop sign here at some point, mm-hmm. and it's going to be pretty far offset from the flow of traffic, right? Unless you bring that up.
You can pull it down kind of as close as we want. It's just there for a truck turn.
I mean, I guess if we're making people go all the way around in one direction, 63 to 202, how bad is it to make them go around in the other direction and take that South Street extension back, you know, for the green? Because there could be, I mean, I think we could do a lot. I mean, I think it would be great to grow the green.
Well, so for over here, I mean, really the only reason we're keeping this open is for trucks.
Okay.
Although we're not doing it because it makes the traffic flow better, things like that. We're doing it because we need trucks to turn.
Right.
But only for the eastbound direction.
Well, they can still turn through here.
I get it. So, but the argument coming earlier that you explained, you're trying to avoid a big radius here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this would go away, as he's trying to point out, saying that you're going to let me eastbound force me to go here as a truck, but coming westbound, you're going to allow me here. So what's the benefit? I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of benefit. Just not funneling everything right to that.
Yeah.
That gives a little bit of relief from here by allowing the 202. The 202.
It's another option, right?
Right.
It gives you another option.
Yeah. Right, but
it's a relief valve for this intersection.
It is,
and it's something we saw too, just doing our origin and destination study. You're kind of seeing where, you know, when someone drives into here, where do they go?
Right.
And the driver experience out here is, if you see traffic, there's other ways to avoid it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to happen out here. You know, we can estimate that, you know, users and drivers are going to react the same way they are now. Mm-hmm. So if you notice that something's stacking up, you don't like it, you're going to find another way around it.
Did you see the mile long backup in October Saturdays here? Going down 118.
I have an unofficial for the Board of Selectmen. What would you guys think about, and, you know, there's an existing plan, the Heritage Plan, to take this over.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And what part of the proposal is to take a sidewalk from here through there, where the existing parking is, and connecting it, you know, to East Green there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, because I know there's some funds available for them to do work on Center Green now, mm-hmm. to be able to start that before 3 to 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. That's the move, the monuments, all that stuff?
If enough people are for it. Mm-hmm. You know, initially I got, let's say, positive feedback from the veterans, and then since then they've changed their mind.
Oh, okay.
But that's solely for the sidewalk.
I'm sorry?
That's solely for the sidewalk, right?
Well, it's connecting the greens, yeah.
It's connecting the greens for the sidewalk, and this would be
but
terrific.
You would not eliminate this, would you?
Oh, no.
He's just talking about
no. That sidewalk can be done any time.
Yeah, I know.
But giving up,
moving
you gotta,
the
you
monuments
give up,
and
give
doing
up.
Everything else is a whole project.
Right.
Heritage plan.
Yeah, and so taking this over and turning it into turf.
Yeah.
Right. This is going to be highly, this needs traffic here. So that needs to be studied about the parking here, how that would be impacted.
That's what the design team would end up looking at.
And that's probably the most dangerous parking.
Yeah, I was going to say,
in most cases, purview or is that a town issue because of, I'm thinking, you keep talking about how this is all town, so I was thinking that might be town rather than...
Well, this is all state here.
Okay.
But
okay.
If everyone, let's say, goes for this plan, then this parking's going away, period.
Yeah, okay.
And it looks like this is going away as well, the parking we have there.
That would go away as well to fit all the lane arrangements.
So it'd actually clean up the green. You wouldn't have cars stacked all around.
Well, that makes perfect sense in what you're describing to have the crosswalk here instead mm-hmm. of this one, which should be eliminated, should have been eliminated to begin with, but that's another story.
Yeah, but that's...
what? How do you
really it's in the middle of the road.
It's a given. You were starting, but it's about relief.
You're describing relief.
You need some relief here. You cannot funnel the whole thing through one...
Well, and from a driver point of view, this is very problematic having these cars here. A lot of creeping out here to about there, and then you're making your
Most people don't even stop there. Actually, a question. What are you envisioning at that 118 split? How do you time that?
I mean, at one point you talked about like angling it so it's not a point, it's more of a 90 degree.
Yep, so that's pretty much
So that's what we're looking at for here. So we have, we're looking at two different alternatives. We're probably going to push both of them to the design team because they essentially do the same thing. This one would utilize the existing footprint and really just apply as pavement markings. Mm-hmm. So it kind of tees this stop sign up a little farther and you can't slip down that.
And you'd be getting rid of the other stop sign there, right?
Yeah, you'd be getting rid of the other stop sign. So this is free flow.
We discussed last time. Yes. You had a point there.
Oh, because that'd be a stop sign.
Oh, it's free flow. Exactly. So the people coming up and taking
that left.
Yeah.
Taking turn.
That's right.
And that's so. I think that has a lot of really good effects also because right now what we have is when people are going from 202 eastbound heading toward 118, a lot of the time they'll cut through West Street because it's faster to do so.
Yeah.
Right. But if you get rid of that stop sign you're talking about getting rid of, and while having that be the one stop sign, it's going to make it comparatively faster to stay on 202 and then go right to 118. Which I think is good because that gets less through traffic going through the center of town.
Yeah, right. Well, it eliminates the confusion everyone has as they're going where. Non-town people, traffic. Do I go? Do I stop? What happens?
To move right.
The general opinion was like, well, yeah, if we can tee this up a little bit, that'll make that.
And same thing. If you actually have that the 118 202 intersection regulated by a light. Then you're going to get a lot less stack up on 118 coming into town, which also makes it so fewer people are doing the same thing in reverse going the other way. So that's great.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what these alternatives show. The only difference is, so this one's just paint, so it's the cheaper alternative. It can kind of get done quick. This one, we're kind of showing this little bump out here.
Adds
a physical, physical thing, so you can't make that swing through like a bypass.
Mm-hmm. A small truck blister, so that, if you do get... someone coming through with a tractor trailer, they can still physically
make the turn.
Make that turn.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be raised like a sidewalk, but like a 2-inch, 3-inch curb reveal,
a little bump,
so they can drive over it, kind of like a roundabout.
But isn't that radius so big now that even with that, you still could put a lawn in there, the grass? I mean, that's a
probably.
Yeah.
So I would push.
Push for that one.
Pitch the grass.
Yeah, I mean, I think for both of these, like I was saying, we're going to put them both in our report, kind of coordinate with the design team, and then from there, for the coordination as they move along, see what makes the most sense.
While we're looking at this, I had a question. We have a lot of bypass on Carl Street, Cedric Lane, and so forth. And when I had looked at it, you know, the number of left turns coming up to get on 202 is low because of the bypass.
And this is the guy that grew up on Carl Street.
Yeah, since I lived on Carl Street. Any chance of getting at least a short
right-hand turn
lane so people out
I was
are,
thinking that,
are
just
incurred.
To get them out of the queue.
And by the way, most of the turns onto Carl Street are because the line here is long.
Exactly.
I go into Carl up and then come this way.
Exactly.
Oh, you're guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. I am absolutely guilty as well.
But I'm guilty for a very specific.
You have to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Piper.
No.
Yeah, we're going to give you that task. So, I mean, again, we right-sized this for what our analysis shows, but once the design team takes it to that next level and they do a further analysis, that could be part of it.
Three cars takes them out of the queue for going straight, but it gets them off, again, it's not the bypass.
I mean, the hope is here with, kind of relocating that interlink, the signal itself will kind of make these more efficient, so... Yeah. It'll make people less likely to take a bypass.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to stay, state traffic to stay on state routes.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to our best to keep things as efficient as they can be out here to do that.
The two comments I'd make, I love the completeness of your design. I think it has some really, really good merits. And having these two options to take to a public hearing where we can discuss with the public. Well, I was just saying you can identify your preferred and give the recommendations. Why? I think one of the things we as a town have to figure out is people are going to have a lot of questions about this, what we're going to intend to do there, and the idea of closing off the South Street extension probably would raise some
If the town stepped up and did something here, could we get that an intersection with a traffic signal incorporated into the funding for that project? Another three.
I mean, that's tough to
so
say.
So they're all interconnected and basically on a timing system.
That's called
taking
the fifth.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to say because that would have to be reanalyzed. The town would have to show that the need for a signal is necessary.
Well, again, I'm going back to trying to fit as one complete.
As the one complete.
Because that's when we
can't just throw in another. When we sat down here
with the commissioner at the table a couple of years ago, we talked about a complete system, and now we're. I think we're leaving out a big piece that we really should throw in there.
Well, so that could be a future coordination task that the design team can have as well. So we're envisioning here that the town at some point would be closing down those roads based on some of the past safety audits that have been done here.
Right.
It sounds like the town is really considering that. So as this moves forward into design and we have our traffic people re-looking through everything and reanalyzing, then that could be part of the conversation if... Okay. At some point, maybe only one's getting closed, one's not getting closed. We looked at both of them being closed as a worst case scenario, so that way we could build it.
Ed, remind me if I'm wrong, but I wasn't the biggest issue with that proposed. I like it. I would prefer doing it, but I thought the biggest issue with that was if we make that sort of that more looping turn here. Yeah. Here, so it comes.
It comes from.
So it comes not to scale, but it kind of comes out and kind of comes to a T here, right? Mm-hmm. And then we get, and then this gets filled in as green, right? I thought the issue was that you would have to make a second lane here as a left turn lane, and that the infringement on the lawns here was not doable. Maybe that's a bad memory of my point, but I thought that left turn lane was a problem.
We're far enough down where there's
it's
three lanes
quite a
already.
Ways down. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we could.
There's three lanes already there.
Right.
So basically you end up with a left turn lane.
And if you're scalping anything, it's going to be the town hall property.
Right.
Which we can control.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I would love it if we could, as a town, act on this, and then as a first step, and just put a stop sign there. And then have that be something that maybe can just be iteratively incorporated to the final planning that you guys do. Because
stop sign where?
Here. So make this, instead of having a light here, right, just have a stop sign where this comes out, and then cars can just turn down here, or if you're coming out here, you have a stop and wait for traffic.
Why I always went with this idea or concept was you'd have a PED signal there. I mean, right now we still have people, tourists or whatever, still coming across at this end. And we have no way of stopping that traffic to let those people go across. And a lot of the visuals I've taken, a lot of people come down the sidewalk and then come across and head back up, and they do a loop. And that would allow those pets, you know, pedestrians to get across.
I mean, I think we as a town need to include this in our analysis of this project and come up with concepts that we have at the public hearing, at least to, because you can't just leave it as is, in my view.
And just to double check, if we get that, if we do this, that does not mess up your overall like timeline or process of the rest of everything?
It shouldn't. Okay. I envision it. You guys might be able to act quicker than we will for that.
Hope so.
And if that happens, then, you know, coordinate with the design team at that point just to make sure no one's stepping on each other's toes. But I don't envision any work that you're doing on those streets necessarily will like affect the scheduling for this.
Okay.
My suggestion to the Board of Selectmen and to DOT is for any public hearing is to have the traffic, the lights already in the design, because that's going to be a key question. Well, are you going to have a dedicated left-hand light here and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we can show the
doing
the
it signal just heads. Without that, I think you're just going
to have to have it because you'd create the same issue we have today.
But knowing that light pattern, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Having that incorporated into the plan.
Or yeah, we can show, show a picture of what the signal head will end up looking like.
I got one other question. If we end up with something down here where this stays open, currently you're proposing a right turn lane.
Yeah.
Because this would, in your vision, was going to be closed.
Yeah.
How about a left turn lane?
Yeah.
That's that. If that remained open, that being a left turn lane.
So you end up with a left turn lane, which, in my opinion, would be more valuable.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because right now, I needed to make that a right turn lane just due to the volume of vehicles moving in. But now with the, you know, I think, I'm not sure what's out there now.
It's a left-hand turn lane now.
Yeah.
When you go into the left, you're taking a left-hand turn. Yeah.
It's, but...
It's a straight line.
Yeah.
Straight through.
There's a left-hand turn dedicated arrow.
And this would be a left.
There's a left-hand. Yeah. At the jail? If I'm in the left, I...
There's not a lane, though. There's just a pedestrian.
There's a left-hand dedicated arrow.
Take the right turn lane out, the left, and the through lane is on
the right side. The right and the... Through
later, that's the same way. It'd be more valuable than anything to have that. And then the other thing is you'd be able to queue some traffic up in here. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, can this intersection be shortened up?
You mean the footprint itself?
So the timing, what I found is the timing on especially crossing that, is we have so many more pedestrians because of this commercial area.
Yeah.
It's,
It seems to be 30, but
the big thing is going to be, that likely could be squeezed together a little more. Mm-hmm.
If you're doing sidewalk work, I guess that's my question is, there's just such a great distance that you've got pedestrians crossing.
Well, you've got an existing sidewalk here, so you'd have to get the sidewalk to bring the sidewalk out and then back.
And then again with that one, since we're limiting our footprint on this side, to bring that sidewalk out, we'd have to shift the alignment up this way and impact this side a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going on the fact that these are, you know, known crossings.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're limiting here.
Kind of
this side, we probably could push this up a little bit. But again, it's our turning movements coming through here that we want to make sure this, you know, this sufficient radii.
And just to follow up the point that Ed made, similarly, would it make sense for this lane to be a straight and right lane and this be left only? Or would that be less efficient?
That's where I was going.
Basically,
you have your left and the left turning at the same time, simultaneous.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that one, what we saw in the from the traffic patterns is that there's a lot of people heading up 118 and then making that right up onto 63.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess the question.
Before coming down from 202.
That makes sense. But I mean, I guess the question is, unless there's a no right on red there, I guess it would only be held up if someone's going straight and there are people behind them going on the right.
I mean, so for our newer signals that we put in for complete streets compliance, we actually, you know, we don't sign them for no turn on red unless specifically asked, but we do have, what are they called? They're like, they light up signs that say don't turn on red when the pedestrian buttons are hit.
Right.
So that way it kind of stops that movement while someone's crossing. So it allows them the ability to cross.
And this is probably a dumb question, but would we even envision or consider on that section of 202 actually having three lanes of westbound traffic, a straight right and left, so that the right people, you know, the people going right could always go around, the people going straight are going straight.
One's going left.
I know that cuts into here more, but if, I mean, we're doing that anyway, right? I mean, this is this patch of grass here is already getting pretty infringed upon through either of these plans. So if we add just a little bit, if we take more off, then that really does improve
the flow through. That's the preferred option, I think.
Right.
But the weird thing about there, the existing sidewalk is like way the hell in here.
Yeah. State right of way is actually all the way.
So if you get rid of that sidewalk, they have more green.
Yeah.
You know, and the sidewalk was down. So
yep.
you could say it's a loss.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You're up the hill there.
Some issues. The sidewalk is higher, like three feet off.
Remember, we couldn't do the ADA.
Yeah, we walked it years ago.
Sure. That's true, but that's a good point.
Well, we can always consider it. We'll make note of it in our report moving forward. I mean, this right now works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at some point, you know, when we redo the counts, we do the analysis, it could be a different conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we do have the room that is deemed necessary. Like you were saying, there's already impacts. What's a little more impact? So
yeah, I mean, just learning from current experience, right? I mean, as we all know, the area in front of the jail of Marketplace, right? This is a pedestrian lane, but it is the de facto right turn lane, right? And so if we're going to re-engineer this, we don't want to have more de facto.
Yeah,
you know, right. We want things to work as intended.
But I've seen people get tickets doing that right turn.
They should get more out because that's a.
I saw a state cop doing it last week.
I've seen people almost get hit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're all guilty of doing it at some point, or at many points in the past. But
I think, you know, defining the curb line through here is going to definitely help because you're putting up a physical, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. area. I mean, we are, you know, we're showing 5 foot shoulders as well. That's for complete streets as well. For we're not going to label it as a bike lane,
but it's open
for bikes if they're coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's kind of where we limit. We're not going to make the lanes too wide, so that way mm-hmm. people aren't going to want to bypass. So everybody should be kind of, you know, mm-hmm. stuck where they need to go.
Why is it right now even no right on red? Is it because of you can't see enough on your left? Like, why?
I think the sight lines are the issue over there because the island, and as well as I think because it's set so far back as well. But I'd have to look at the design build. I'd have to look at the
I think it's more than because of pedestrian volume.
Mm-hmm.
That could also be it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it wasn't like that before.
Right, it was added a few years ago.
Yeah, I know throughout the state we've been installing signs because of pedestrian volumes and pedestrian hits that unfortunately happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been when they upgraded the signal, I think a couple of years ago.
Sounds to me like everyone prefers this plan, and if that's the case, my personal opinion.
Just go with one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't go with two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually when we present things to the public, we'd like to.
Options.
Here's the concept that we're going with. We're
keeping the South Street extension open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
our analysis. 3 hours comparing the two.
Yeah.
The idea of allowing that to peel off some of the traffic from that center intersection makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I like the idea of gaining green space, I think that this has a lot more merit.
We could work on it here.
Yeah, I think we as a town need to, and I think we'd like to try to get it into the whole design cycle. So,
yeah.
I mean, we could probably talk about it at the hearing, but we'd have to talk about it as a board to figure out how we would, you know, get some design concepts.
Well, the one that came out of the Traffic Safety Commission was a pretty professional looking sketch of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
Ed's job.
Yeah.
Ed's design. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, we could use that as a
That's just a stalking horse.
For and your idea, maybe it's just a stop sign initially? Is, you know, that's something we can incorporate.
By the way, the reason it seems like the 30-second stop is everything stops.
Right.
This crosswalk and this crosswalk at the same time.
Sorry, are you saying the slip lane becomes two-way again with a stop sign?
No, the Ed's concept is, bringing West Street all the way down in front of, like, the Methodist Church.
Okay, and then doing the right-hand turn.
And then rolling it and creating more green space, more parking. And then his idea had the signal teeing up with the town hall exit right here. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So yeah, and we could probably do it with a stop sign initially
instead of a light.
Yeah. You need DOT approval to move that road though?
Well, no. Well, this is ours. This is all our real estate.
But it intersects theirs.
Yeah, you'd have to go through.
Yeah, we have to do it
with the district,
right?
But that's a faster process.
That is a faster process.
Regardless how I feel about that design for certain, well,
I don't, no.
But honestly, no, we can discuss it. But Ed has a very good point in a sense that I don't need anything from you. So my point is, he's saying you're going to create a corridor, you want coordination. That signal should be part of the project
because
it's part of the segment. So in that respect, he's 100% here. So it's a valid point.
I go back to the pedestrian crossing.
Sure.
It also serves Center School.
Sure.
Which, by the way,
is an RFB projected there that I just got wind of it. So,
yeah,
couple of years though, right? 27?
Yeah, 27. So
we were talking to them, seeing what's going on because we knew they were going to come up.
So. Oh, by the way, we might close that school. So,
there's so many pieces of this puzzle.
This is great work. There's definitely some progress here that we can.
So, if we go to a hearing, we should probably have stuff that we could talk about here as well.
Sure, why not?
I'd show the whole picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? I mean, I had talked to every individual business owner in that area, and everybody was all, yes. Yeah. So that was my biggest concern. It was all the businesses would go, no way, don't touch anything.
The other thing, to Dirk's point.
But when you asked them, was it with the PED included in there?
Oh, yeah.
With the
No.
They had a light, I think, when you were
the biggest thing is just cleaning up the mess.
Clean this mess
right
up.
Now, okay. It's a...
And to Dirk's point earlier, to enlarge the middle green, you get quite a few more parking spaces down here. So we actually have a net gain and still closing all that off. So
even with closing
that
off
concept
the North
is
extension parking.
Actually doesn't, we don't have to give up parking, which we know is
might
crazy.
Might even help the Heritage Landscape.
I think you'll get a lot of pushback, though, if you just have a stop sign, though.
Well, I mean, maybe it's a stop. If we could do this quickly.
I won't even talk about the stop
relatively.
Sign.
Relatively. Yeah. No, you want to go with the signal right off?
You back off and off.
Well, I'm just saying if it's a state project with a signal, though, that's going to take 3 to 5 versus something we can do, like, with a stop sign in a couple of years. And clear up this for the whole concept, so as the state is doing their design, we've already fixed what you were considering anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to us.
But to get the signal covered by the project. You throw the concept to them and let it include it in the plan.
The only thing is...
Having that done
ahead of time might alleviate some of the horrible traffic you're going to have during this construction.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
Because you're going to have horrible traffic when this project's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you say it's one season what this would be done?
Most likely one construction season. Because we would try to do the widening off the road first. And then it's, the biggest thing is going to be the signal replacement itself. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to be the biggest headache. But usually we alleviate that with temporary signals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's one-way traffic for a while. Mm-hmm. And the queues are going to, be extensive, but it's a construction site. It happens.
Well, you mentioned you talked to SHPO earlier. What was their feedback on this?
Their feedback was don't touch the green. So
touch the green.
But
well, we feel that.
Yeah.
The thing
is too is that's why we looked at the other alternative. It's not, it's not a project killer. But when you touch the green and you have to get approval for that, you have to show all the other alternatives. Why can't you follow through ones that don't have impacts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of did that exercise here, and in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
No impacts, does the same, it solves the same purpose.
You use your easements instead of the green. And it works.
Yeah, we use our property.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent, thank you.
Right. Yeah, so what kind of timing could we...
I would say January sometime. January. Get through the holidays, yeah, because yeah. we want as many people to come
Actually,
out as possible.
We have a town meeting planned, right?
Hoping for January 20th.
We could do like a public meeting. Hearing before.
Give you enough time?
I think so, yeah. Let's do like a public hearing before that and then go into the town meeting.
Actually, I was hoping for a Saturday.
Saturday. Get more
Don't rush it.
I don't want to rush it, Paul, but we don't want to waste time either. I mean,
actually,
if we're
January
ready 20th. And they're ready,
January 24th.
Let's present it.
Yeah. But that's a Saturday, yeah. so you guys might not be available on a Saturday. But for the town meeting, I was just...
You were going to do it, trying to think of it on a Saturday?
A town meeting on a Saturday so that, you know, people, during the day, so people could come that maybe don't drive at night and maybe some young families that maybe...
Have you ever had one during, on a Saturday?
I've not had one, but I know other towns that do.
Statutorily, are we allowed? Does that have to be a business day? Or,
I don't
know.
Think so.
I don't think so.
I think other might have problems on a Sunday, but I don't think they have a problem on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Saturday's a Sabbath for some.
Yeah,
but you gotta ask these guys. Well, they don't work on Saturday.
Well, we work outside of office hours. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. we'll
work
on your schedule.
We have to go to a community potluck from 12 to 2, and then
pizza.
2 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. While you guys are still here on a related topic, 118 and 254, is anything happening with that?
18254. That's further east.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
the hill. Yeah, yeah, we talked about eliminating the climbing lane. All right.
I believe draft
trackers was
looking at
that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I think right now at the same time that they're doing the RFB for the school, I think they're looking at signing and maybe pavement adjustments out there.
Right.
Or striping adjustments, I should say. I don't know what their timeline or their plan.
What's an RFB?
Request for proposals.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the flashing signal when you hit the button. But yeah, I believe their plan is to go out, restripe, put up more advanced signs, and just kind of replace them so they're more retro reflective, so you can actually see them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we'll have a further conversation with them about anything long term for that area, because it is on our radar, mm-hmm. but it's not an official investigation. Yet, or even a proposed project.
Okay.
So,
I mean, just because we did, so we yeah, and I'm sorry
yeah.
that Raz left, because we paid for a study on 118 and 254, and the takeaway from that study is that it is a very deficient intersection
yep.
and a non-compliant intersection. It was through a firm, and again, I'm sorry, Raz isn't here. He could give you a lot more technical details. Mm. It's through a firm that does a lot of work for the DOT itself.
Okay.
And that is an extremely dangerous intersection. I go to accidents there all the time. There was actually almost a collision there on my way in here with someone pulling out in front of it. The sight lines are very problematic, and there's a very specific problem there where because you have two lanes, often the vehicle in the right lane screens a vehicle in the left lane that someone pulling in does not see.
And so
a faster moving vehicle, you have enough time to beat the car that's coming in the right lane. There's a faster moving vehicle behind that you don't see, and so you have cars, you know. Speed limit 40. People are often going 70 by the time they crest that hill,
yep.
and so you have some very, very bad T-bone collisions. Mm-hmm. We've seen some pretty gnarly injuries there in the last couple of years, especially. So, this is a huge quality of life issue for the people of Litchfield. It's it's important. It's important in a lot of cases, and people do get hurt at these intersections. I'm not saying that, but you don't have high mechanism.
It's not high speed.
Yeah. So 118 and 254. It is literally a testament to the quality of emergency rooms and first responders that no one has died there in the last 5 years. I mean, we've probably put a dozen people in ambulances.
Wow.
Over that period of time, right? I mean, like and like needing to go to the hospital, not getting checked out for precautionary reasons,
yeah.
right? So, I would really, I mean, I hope that study that we pay for is maybe kind of like. Nudging more concrete action, just because it's the language that was in that study was pretty forceful as far
yeah.
as like this
Matthew
is not okay.
Bloom he
oh,
had
so
worked right with me yep.
oh okay
yeah.
Matt Bloom
he's yep. the chief of our traffic division
yeah
yeah so I'm in this case
GM2 was the name of the
engineer
okay. yep that's
it
who
is
we
a nasty intersection
yeah and I think right now I think working with Matt and his unit is just trying to get something out there as fast as possible.
Right.
And right now that's signs and striping.
Okay.
Once it comes into our shop, we have longer timelines. But if
right.
we can do something immediately, we'd like to.
Yep.
I mean, getting rid of that climbing lane and just having it be one lane, because right now people are going as fast as they can past 254 because it doesn't get into one lane until afterwards.
Yep.
It makes no sense. So if that at least could happen in, you know, sooner than later, that would be really helpful.
What you've got to do is slow traffic down. That's what causes most of the accidents.
That's also another issue. But
put speed bumps going up the hill.
What that also allows you to do, if you get rid of the climbing lane or passing lane, it allows you to bring the intersection of 254 further out. You don't have to cross that far distance.
Just one lane instead of two. Lane.
That's a good point,
So you can bring that stop sign and everything out.
All the way there.
Right. And there's others convenient. Like another thing is that at the end of 254, they're really, it's just like in the center of town in front of the jail bar, where there's a de facto right turn lane that everyone just goes into the pedestrian lane to turn right, and then there's sight line issues between the two cars side by side. So adding a right turn lane at the end of 254, I think, would also be pretty beneficial. And there's it's like woods next to it, so there shouldn't be any, issues.
Well, talk to Matt's team and see where they are for that one. I don't think we've got an update from a little bit, but we'll probably end up opening a separate investigation into there.
Okay.
But, you know, for today, this is kind of what we really wanted to focus on. I think we have our next steps. You know, let us know when.
Probably sometime late January, one way, right? We could either do a public hearing separate or tie it to the town meeting, either way.
Okay. I think it probably maybe a dedicated public hearing might be better, just because we learned with, you know, the Board of Ed back-to-back, so we have two different topics. We don't have that much time.
You don't want to limit it.
And Casey Ferracci, you know, Catherine Ferracci, she called herself Casey, but she was somebody else that had been dealing with it. She's the planning director.
Oh, yeah, that's where she is.
Oh, yeah, but she was through the COG. She used to work with the DOT.
Yeah, her name's familiar. All right, we'll look into that one a little further as well, you know. But I think today was pretty productive.
Thank you so much.
By all means, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
And if you guys need copies of these plans, or if you'd like them here, you know, I think we'll probably take the hard copies just in case, just because we only want one alternative to
you could send me the digital copy of the one that we preferred, so that I could, we could make it into our own maps and we could have it available digitally for people that want to come to the public hearing. Important.
And would you send me a digital copy?
I will definitely send you a copy.
No comment.
Great.
Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate it.
You guys want to adjourn?
We are adjourned. Who wants to take a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
312. We are adjourned.